The following message by Shane Sowers is brought to you by Central Baptist Church, Aurora, Colorado. www.cbcaurora.com.
Today we're going to be zeroing in on verses 4 to 6. So that's chapter 4, verses 4 to 6. While you're turning there, you know, when we send out missionaries to other countries, not only do these missionaries get training in the scriptures and spiritual formation, but they also get training to prepare them for the culture that they are going to minister to. So they get cross-cultural communication studies, cultural anthropology studies. They probably should learn the language before they go. So they get all these classes. And the reason we do this is that so that they get a clear view of the culture that they're going to minister to. And why do we do this? Because the better equipped they are, the better they understand the culture, the more effective and the more efficient they're going to be in preaching and in you know, establishing discipleship in that culture. And I think for many of us, when we think about these kinds of things, we would all agree. Be like, yeah, that's what they need to do. They need to go through all this training. They need to understand the culture before they go to the culture. So, of course, I said all this because I'm setting us up, because that's what I do, to set us up. We are here to minister to our culture, to our surroundings, to our neighborhoods, to our neighbor. And we are to preach, to disciple those within our culture. And if this is what we're going to do, this is what the Lord has called us to do, then should we not have a good grasp of our culture? See, one of the difficulties that we're faced with when it comes to understanding our culture is that it's hard to see what's going on in the glass bowl if we're in the glass bowl. Hard to see what's going on in the bubble when you're in the bubble. But, you know, that's why we have leadership in churches. That's why we have pastors, because it's the pastors that are adventurous enough to make their way outside of the bubble so that we can look in and see what's really going on, and that we do the identification and we do the research for you. And so what we're talking about here and what we're looking at today is this thing called a world view. Worldview. Worldview is simply defined as a particular philosophy of life or conception of the world. Essentially, how we see the world. What is our worldview? Now, whether or not you believe that America was founded as a Christian nation or not, whatever you believe, doesn't matter at this point. The reality is that we are currently operating in what's called a post-Christian society. It's essentially what we're faced with today. We're living in a post-Christian society, and I'm going to throw this in, with many people in our culture inoculated with the word gospel. We've all heard it. And I think, like, in a lot of ways, we've all got just enough gospel. Now, not the gospel, but the word gospel. We got enough of it to think that we don't need it. So we're living in a post-Christian society with many who are inoculated with the word gospel. Currently, right now, any non-Christian worldview is a secular worldview today. Now, we understand secular as defined as attitudes, activities, or other things that have no religious or spiritual basis. So we understand secular as being like, we have nothing to do with spirituality, want nothing to do with religion. Now, Shane, you just said that every non-Christian worldview is a secular worldview. But there are other religions out there. Let me say that again. If it's non-Christian, it's secular. I don't care what God you're worshiping. A non-Christian worldview is a secular worldview. And within our secularism, our worldly philosophies, worldly philosophies that have been with us for years and years and years. Philosophies like hedonism. Hedonism is like we pursue pleasure, but we reject pain. See some of that in our culture today. Humanism, man is the center of all things. See some of that in our culture today. Pragmatism, deciding what's right and wrong is based upon what works and what doesn't. If it works, it's right. If it doesn't work, it's wrong. Positivism, what's meaning? Well, how are we supposed to have meaning to anything? Everything in this world is pretty much meaningless unless you can prove it with evidence. And then you got existentialism, which is the one thing that I feel like affects our culture a lot. Essentially, is essence or existence before essence. Hey, you know what? We're born and you don't have a purpose. If you want purpose in your life, you gotta get that for yourself. You gotta make something of your life. You've got to do it for yourself. Whatever you put your mind to, you can accomplish. That was big for me, for Generation X. If you're Generation X, that was big for us. This is what we got from Sesame Street and Electric Company. Whatever you put your mind to, Shane, you can do. And we're the ones with the broken dreams and stuff like that in our culture now. Why? Because we're the ones that are figuring out that that's not true. You have no idea how much I put my mind to playing center for the Los Angeles Lakers. It didn't matter how much of my mind I put to that. That was just never going to happen. All these philosophies in this world that affect our current worldview. Now, Shane, what in the world does this have to do with fake news? I'm glad you asked. It's because of our evolving secular worldview that things like fake news and why false teaching and their false prophets are able to dupe and deceive millions of people. It's because of our evolving worldview that fake news works. If it didn't work, there wouldn't be this thing called fake news going around out there. Today, John is going to tell us why this happens and what we have in our hands to deal with it. So let's take a look. John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, verses 4 to 6. 1 John chapter 4, verses 4 to 6. Hear the word of the Lord. But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. Those people belong to this world, so they speak from the world's viewpoint and the world listens to them. But we belong to God, and those who know God listen to us. If they do not belong to God, they do not listen to us. That is how we know if someone has the spirit of truth or the spirit of deception. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that because of your word, we can truly know truth. Not just hear it, but know it. Father, we thank you for that privilege that we have. And God, because we know, I pray that you continue to move upon our hearts, that we will continue to pray for those that don't, for those that don't know the truth, for those who are lost, for those all over the world. Right now, we specifically lift up what's going on in China to you right now, Lord, and all the things that's happening there. And Father, we pray that your truth will permeate that country. Father, we lift up Indonesia to you right now with all the things that are happening there, Lord. Father, I pray that you continue to strengthen those with the faith and the courage, Lord, to be there to minister the gospel of Jesus. So, Father, I pray that in those two countries specifically and all over the world, that we will see the light of truth shine. And, Father, we pray that you give us the wisdom and the strength to be able to stand strong and firm during this time of confusion. Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So, family, the first thing. The first thing we'll look at today is the real reason why we have victory and why we will continue to have victory over the spirit of the Antichrist. This is coming from the sermon last week. Second, we're going to take a good look at the intimate relationship that false prophets have with the world and why the world actually listens to them. They have the world's worldview. And finally, we will see that the only way to know truth is to listen to the message of the apostles who make the preaching of the gospel their primary message. So the thesis statement today is this, and again, the thesis statement is me trying to summarize the entire sermon in one sentence. Through sin, the worldview of the world and the false prophets try to deceive us to a place where we are unable to discern the difference between truth and error, fake and real. It is the truth of Scripture and the greatest spirit that will open our eyes to see and know the truth. That truth that will truly set us free. So family, point number one, we've got to remember. So again, this is coming off of the sermon last week where we talked about false prophets and their false teaching, that we will have victory over this deception. Why? Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we know this scripture. This is where the scripture comes from. We know this scripture, right? When we were young, when we were in Sunday school, we were in Bible school, man. This is the scripture, man. He that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. So after the apostle warns us about testing the spirits because there are false prophets in the world, he gives us a word of exhortation specifically to the people here, generally to Christians all over the world at any time. To the people he declares victory because greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. He's saying, you have overcome them. He's exhorting them. He's exhorting the people that John is specifically talking to. He's exhorting them. You have overcome them. At this point, they have not deceived you. They've tried, but they have not deceived you. Praise God, you have been able to overcome them, and you have tested them, and you have found that they were not good. You repudiated their teaching. You cast them out. You did not believe in their lies, so much so that many of them left. And I think some commentators will include the false prophets in this group of people that left the church. So if you remember in First John chapter 2, 19, these people left our churches, but they never really belonged with us. Otherwise, they would have stayed with us. When they left, it proved that they did not belong to us. So John is telling that there are people that left the churches. And remember, Jesus said that this would be, that the deception that was going to come from the false prophets would be so bad, it was going to be so strong, that it would deceive even the elect if it were possible. That's how good this deception would be. It would deceive even the elect if it were possible. But for you, they did not win. And John wants to throw something very important. The reason why they didn't win was not because you were stronger, not because you were smarter, not because you were better looking, not because of those things. Why did you win? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. These two spirits, the Holy Spirit and the spirit of the Antichrist, are always at odds in this world. Always at odds. But he's saying, I want to let you know that the Holy Spirit is way superior. Oh yeah, they're going to be at odds. The spirits are going to be at odds. But let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit is way stronger. Way stronger. And the rendering of it is just a simple thing. And you go to the Greek and you see the rendering. It's a simple thing. It's just a simple understanding. It's this whole kind of idea that I get in my mind when I read this. It's like children in the playground, you know, growing up. May not be so much today, but back when I was growing up, there was always that argument that happened between the two boys on the playground or the boys on the playground, you know, that arguing about whose daddy is better. You know what I mean? It's like, my daddy is better. My dad's better than yours. My dad's stronger than your dad. My dad is way smarter than your dad. My dad has more money than your dad. My dad's way faster than your dad. Nah, yes, huh? Way faster than your, my dad can run the 100 meters in less than 9 seconds. Oh yeah? Well, my dad, he can run, he's so fast that he can catch a bullet with his bare hands. Oh yeah? My dad is so fast, he gets off of work at 5 o'clock and he's home by 3. John is saying, do not worry about the battle that takes place. Test the spirits. Follow the warnings in Scripture. Let Scripture be your guide. Let your leaders help you, and you will overcome and always overcome the spirit of the Antichrist, because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. And it's important for us to remember this. I even find myself at times, especially during this time that we're in, you know, this COVID-19 age that we're in right now, you know, it's like, you know, the confusion. It's you're starting to see many in the world starting to flex their muscles, and they seem very strong. They seem very powerful because they have so much of an effect on people. And even times, in many ways, even do control us. Do control the things that are happening. Many even try to subjugate us. And many times they actually will succeed. Many times in the world you see that people are strong. They are powerful. It may cause some of us to live in fear. They may cause some of us to live paralyzed right now because we are afraid of what's happening. And because of the control that they have, many may show great signs of intellect, fooling us. I mean, I think I was even talking to somebody this morning about, you know, feeling like we're being, you know, tricked. You know, that a lot of the stuff and information that we're getting is not true, and they're lying to us, and it seems like it's being used to control whatever it is that we believe. We just think that there's all kinds of things that's happening, that these people are just smarter than us, that they're always going to beat us in an argument, that they're going to oppress us, that they're going to humiliate us, and many of them do. But family, even Lot's, with Lot's going on these days where the strong seem like they're actually getting stronger, please remember, remind yourself every day, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Gotta believe that. Sometimes it's so discouraging that that's the only thing I have to go on. That's the only thing I have in this gas tank. To know that this world will have no power over me unless it's been given to them from above. Sure, we may lose battles. I know it's cliche to say that. Well, we're going to lose battles, but we're going to win the war. You know what the reality is? It's true. In the end, we're going to win the war. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to my Lord. He's been given to our Lord. Nothing is going to happen to us unless the Lord lets it happen. And if he's letting it happen, then I know one thing for sure. He's got a plan. We sing it. God is in control. We believe that his children will not be forsaken. I don't even know if they play that on the radio anymore, but it's a song that we used to sing all the time. The question is, do we believe it? Family, greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. I am going to overcome. I know I am more than a conqueror. Sure, those who have the power to kill the body may pose a threat and take my life, but let me tell you something, the one who has the power to destroy the body and the soul is so much greater. And I'll tell you right now, he stands with us. Nothing will separate me from the love of God. And he dwells with me. And he that's dwelling with me is greater than he that's in the world. And so John moves on. And he wants to talk here. So point number two, about the world's worldview. Essentially says the world listens to them. In light of the false prophets, the world listens to them. Verse 5 gives us a picture of the world. It's not the actual earth. I know sometimes we can hear things like the world and be confused because it's like, what's he talking about here? Is he talking about the earth? No, what he's talking about here is not the earth and creation, but essentially the spirit or the age or the time the culture, the world of those who are hostile towards God. We see this in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. See how very much our Father loves us, for He calls us His children, and that is what we are. But the people who belong to the world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know Him. See? John is saying that the false prophets are part of the world that is hostile to God. The world that has gone into their realm of secularism, where they want nothing to do with God. And again, if you have something to do with a God, it means you have nothing to do with God. Can I say that one more time? Just because you say, hey, man, Shane, I'm not an atheist, man. I believe in God. I may not believe the God you believe, but I believe in God. If you do not believe in God, then you do not believe in God. Secular. It's a way. It has nothing to do with this. 1 John chapter 4, verse 5. 1 John chapter 4, verse 5. Those people belong to this world, so they speak from the world's viewpoint, and the world listens to them. Hendrickson, he writes, the false prophets are from the world. They derive their principles, zeal, goals, and existence from the world of hostility in which Satan rules as prince. So the false prophets, they are from the world, and they get their principles from the world. This is the thing that's absolutely fascinating to me. After I went and did a deep study on this passage of scripture, and I started to think about the false prophecies and the false prophets that we have in the world today, man, I tell you something that is really uncanny. It has a lot in common with worldly philosophies. A lot in common. I mean, and the other thing too, I'm just thinking about, like, you know, how in the world we're so impacted by certain things. And you hear prophecy. So I'm talking about this one. I'm looking at or listening to some of the prophecies of this one person who I know is a false prophet. And I'm listening to his prophecies. And I'm just like, you know what's the one thing that's amazing about these prophecies that's all similar? It's like every one is a prophecy to an individual of how rich they're going to be, how successful they're going to be, how popular they're going to be. None of the prophecies that I heard was anything like the prophecies that you see in Scripture where God's hand's going to come down upon you and judge you for the things that you've done. Right? Prophecies that come, it's just like, man, you're going to be a millionaire. You're going to marry a millionaire. You're going to win American Idol. You know? You know, it's just the whole idea, the whole understanding of the world view, how we're looking at it. And when you look at the prophecy, look at all this stuff, it has a lot to do with what it is that people in the world are chasing. So absolutely, if people in the world are chasing and they want to be rich, and you give them a prophecy or you tell them some kind of teaching in Scripture, here, I got the seven steps for you to listen to, the seven steps that if you follow, you will become a millionaire. You know what? The people in the world are going to be like, sign me up. All you're saying is all I got to do is go to church on Sundays and I'll be a millionaire? All I got to do is read the Bible and I'll be a millionaire? You know, it perks interest. You know, it perks our thoughts. And then, man, I bet some of you over here have been going to church every single Sunday for a long time. Wish that was true. The world listens to them. This viewpoint, in this reason, is why the world is going to listen to them. They speak what they want to hear. Their message is shaped by the world's worldview. The opinions and values line up. The message is shaped by the world's categories. And they were taught by the world. That's the thing that's amazing. The world listens to them, but it was the world that actually taught them their principles. Is this, Shane, why they're so popular? Dr. John Stott said this, the world recognizes its own people and listens to their message, which originates in its own circle and reflects its own perspectives. This explains their popularity. Huh. John Stott explains that. But Shane, man, okay, I get it. I see what you're saying. They're listening to the world, world philosophy, all that stuff. But if we're going to reach our world, then what is the world's worldview? What's the world's worldview now? You know, in our current modern culture, it has been shaped, like I said, in one way, one form or another, by philosophies like humanism and hedonism and pluralism, existentialism. And if you study these theories for a while, it really doesn't take long for you to see its effect on our current society. Like I said, the thing that's really uncanny is when, well, you know, you, for some of you know that my undergraduate studies was in philosophy. And what I can do is I can pinpoint a lot of these worldviews by watching something simple like Sesame Street. You know, I see a lot of these philosophies in a simple cartoon like Phineas and Ferb. You know, the thing that's funny too is like my wife can point it out when we watch things. You know, my wife caught all the worldviews in movies like Frozen. You know, movies like Frozen or The Avengers. You know, how popular Marvel and the Avengers and the superheroes and all this stuff. And it's just like people don't really understand that it was Nietzsche who came up with this idea of the Ubermensch. You know what the Ubermensch is? Supermen. And the thing that's funny to me, what's uncanny, is how you see all of these worldly philosophies, these atheistic philosophies that are penetrating our culture, but they're aimed. The aim is with all the kids' stuff. Man, because if we can get them when they're young, then they're going to grow up exhibiting this kind of behavior, this kind of ideas. And it's like you can sit there and you can listen to it and bam, you can pick it up. And it took years of time, of course, to study all this stuff. And some of you may say, well, but you know what, Shane, I just don't have all that time to study all these different philosophies. I mean, can you summarize this? Can you summarize it? Can you make it as simple as possible? And I'm like, you know what? I even thought about this, trying to figure out a way that I could make it simpler, that I can make it even more recognizable. And I think I came up with an idea. Let me just share it this way. We live in a post-Christian society that has been indoctrinated with secularism, the spirit or the tendency, especially in a system, political, social, that rejects all forms of religious faith and worship, culture that rejects all religion. And here's the thing, one of the key proponents of secularism and foundational, I think, to our current world's worldview can be illustrated by the TV show Mad Men. I don't know if you guys have ever seen Mad Men. I've never personally watched the show. But I'm not familiar with the show, but I was very familiar with the quote that I'm going to share with you. But let me just kind of share this idea, this little summary I got. It was an award-winning TV series called Mad Men, and it revolves around the conflicted world of Don Draper, the biggest ad man or ladies man in the business. Draper's high-level position at the Sterling Cooper Draper Price advertising agency gives him all the money and power a man could want. And he wields it throughout each episode. During the show's first episode, titled Smoke Gets in Your Eyes, Draper explains to a woman in the office the essence of his marketing job and his entire worldview. This is the quote I've heard before, and this is what he said to the lady. What you call love was invented by guys like me to sell nylons. You are born alone, you are going to die alone. And this world just drops a bunch of rules on top of you to make you forget those facts. But I never forget. I am living like there's no tomorrow because there isn't one. And family, I just feel like if I had to pinpoint just one thing that's foundational to our current secular society is that the world has adopted this philosophy that there is no tomorrow. What they more specifically are saying is that there is no eternal consequence to the things we do today. Right? You get rid of God, you get rid of religion, you get rid of all of that stuff, what do you got? Got no fear of God. Got no fear of punishment. Got no fear of tomorrow. Doesn't do anything. Today is just like the other day. There's no consequences. There's no future. There's nothing to look forward to. There's no God. There's no heaven. There's no hell. I mean, if there's no God, there's no heaven. Therefore, there's no hell. And everything that we have is to live for the here and the now. The philosophy of here and now is kind of foundational to our world's culture and all the worldviews. When you put all of these things together, existentialism, pragmatism, hedonism, all these things, they all deny any future eternal consequence to our actions today. So if you are into existentialism, you're thinking, well, since there's no God and there's no consequence, then pretty much life is meaningless. There's nothing. There's no purpose in life. Right? So you may as well just do what it is that you want to do. You may as well just be who it is that you want to be and do what you want to do to other people. Why? Because it doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter what happens later on in life. There's no fear of consequence from God at all. Outside of the government, your actions today will have no consequence tomorrow for eternity. So live like there is no tomorrow. This is why the world listens to them. Do what you want. Take what you want. You live only once. One of the things that I think is very interesting is the amount of time, I've heard other Christians say things like, life is too short. Oh, come on, man. Life is, you know, I'm not going to mess with this individual because life is too short. That's not what Christians are supposed to say. Yeah, you know, I'm not dealing with this individual because life is too short. You better start figuring out how to deal with that individual because you're going to be with this individual for eternity. So anytime you hear a Christian say life is too short, it should perk you. You're like, let's have a conversation. You should do for you. I mean, there's even some that actually will put God to the test. Remember I told you about that whole, the blasphemy challenge where people blaspheme God and they blaspheme God to dare them, God to judge them right now for the things that they've said. And then when God doesn't judge them or doesn't kill them, they're like, see, there's no God. There's no judgment. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's no consequences. Don't let experiences pass you by. Take the plunge. Just do it. You can do anything you put your mind to. And the world listens to this because the world shapes this. But Shane, man, I get it. I understand. But this idea, this philosophy, it's not in the church, is it? Oh, yes, it is. One of the best-selling books. Christian books of all times is titled Your Best Life Now. And we don't think that it's in the church family. Some of the extravagant spending and deceptions of many false teachers with false ministries today show that they actually don't have fear of consequences for their actions. They lie in the name of God with no fear. I'll tell you this right now. I don't know for everything, but I know for sure of two multi-million-dollar, supported listener ministries where the leader actually admitted that what they were doing is wrong, but said this, I got bills to pay, and I got people in the ministry that depend on me to do this, so I'm just going to keep doing it. So they keep doing it. In the name of God, have you no fear? Are we not afraid of the eternal consequences of these types of things? Have you no fear of God? We can get our blessings now. Many false gospels declare of receiving our inheritance now, not in heaven, but now. We are more desirous right now of heaven on earth instead of actually going to heaven. Have we lost our eternal perspective? Have we come to the place where we've accepted the life of Esau, where we would sacrifice our eternal birthright for a bowl of stew? Do we fear the Lord? Look at the way we operate in our lives today. We do what we want, when we want, for whatever reason we think, and there'll be no consequences to our actions. The lies that we tell, there are no consequences to our actions. The way we treat people today, we will think that there's no consequences to our actions. You want to be mean to people and think that there's not going to be consequences for you later? Break covenant agreements like marriage, and think that there's not going to be consequences. We want to lie, we want to cheat, we want to rebel, we want to indulge in promiscuity, indulge in sensuality, and not be loving to our neighbor and think that there's not going to be any consequences. Just because God does not judge us today doesn't mean He's not going to judge us in the future. And the world listens to them. There's this large church in Hawaii. I won't say the name, but everybody will know what I'm talking about if you're from Hawaii. They preach with the world's worldview in focus. You listen to the messages and you can hear the world's worldview in focus. And it's so much so that many non-Christians go to that church. Now, how do I know this? Well, I know several people, but one of my relatives, the person whom I'm related to, who is not a Christian, I'll tell you right now, she is not a Christian, goes to that church every single Sunday. And at family gatherings, when we talk about, hey, you know, Pastor, you know, Shane, yeah, Shane's a pastor. Yeah, you know, I can't mention her name, but you know, she's a Christian. She goes to that church, and you just kind of scratch her head, you know, while she's drunk with cigarette and beer in her hand. Yeah, I go to church every Sunday. Oh, I love the church, man. It's so uplifting. And you just kind of scratch your head. You know, you just want to move on, you know. But here's the other thing. There was a lady who was helped by one of the members of the church that I pastored in Hawaii. And she believed that she was a Christian because she prayed the prayer. Now, the member told her, that's a start. That's a start. But repentance is a lifestyle change because you see the world so much different. So if you really become a Christian, your lifestyle changes because you see everything different. And so he was explaining to the lady, yes, you know, and this lady was continuing in her vices and all of that kind of stuff. And he says, well, you're going to be a lifetime change. She said my friend, she said, she didn't have to. I don't have to have a lifestyle change in my life. She said she became a Christian when they did the altar call and was told by the pastor that she was okay to live the same life that she was living, and it required no change. Go ahead with the drugs, the alcohol, the partying, fine. Fine, just come to church on Sundays. Now, he said to her, when did the pastor tell you that? When you did altar counseling? She goes, oh, no, the next morning at her house over breakfast. And he said, wow, he went to your house for breakfast the next day? She said, no, he spent the night with me. Family, you can't make this stuff up. You can't make this stuff up. I'm sitting here listening to this stuff and wow. And for the record, it was not the lead pastor of the church, but it was one of the assistants. Not that it makes it better, but I just wanted to make sure I throw that out there. The reason why I tell you that story, do we not think that there'll be consequences? They operate and they act as if there's not going to be consequences. They operate and act as if there's one day they're not going to stand before Christ and give an account for what just took place. How in the world can there be preaching that is more in line with Oprah's worldview than a biblical worldview? How is that possible that this is actually happening in pulpits in America? Have we taken on some of the world's worldview? If it's not a biblical one, then it's the world's worldview. Is the Bible our source of truth? When we make moral judgments, is it based on what we find in the scriptures? Or is it based on what we feel? Or is it based on some book that we read last week? The worldview, it comes in the TV shows and the movies that we watch, in the books that we read, in social media entertainment. Oh, but Shane, I don't know. I don't think that it's all actually getting through. If it's not getting through, then why are the false teachers and prophets leading millions of people away from Christ every single day? Why does fake news work? Why does fake news work? Family, do you know that people in other countries, when they look at Americans, they think we're stupid? I've talked to people all the time from other countries, and they really do think we're ignorant. Did you guys see in the news just a couple of days ago that the Chinese-owned company called TikTok, right? You know this whole thing about wanting to get banned. Did you know that they said that they're going to sue the U.S.? With our own court systems for this? Did you guys get that? They're going to sue the U.S. in our own court systems. Do you imagine if I had a company in China and China says, hey, Shane, we don't want you to have that company in China anymore. I'm going to sue you. That's what they said. And then the people are just like, yeah, they're going to sue us. Family! They're going to sue the U.S. in our own court systems. And then you look at this. You know, I got to tell this story. Back when I was in Hawaii, when I was, pastor and I was doing the bivocational thing, I worked in the training department of the Liquor Commission. Not sales department, training department. And so in this thing, we had to give tests. If people wanted to get a license and all that stuff, we had to train them in the laws, and then we give them a test at the end, and if they pass the test, then they can get their license and all this stuff. So there was this lady who was, she was from Korea, and she didn't read English very well. She didn't speak English very well. And she took her test, failed. I said, you know what? You got to come back tomorrow. Take the test. Come back tomorrow. She takes the test, fail. I think she failed like 3 or 4 times. Finally, I just was like, you know what? It's just like, you really got to study this thing. Why don't you take some time? She's like, well, I don't understand English very well, and I don't read English very well. And I'm just like, yeah, I know. Okay, so then why are you here trying to take this test, trying to pass the test? And she goes, well, because I figured that you would just give it to me. And I was like, that's kind of weird. I said, if I go to Korea, I don't speak Korean, I can't read Korean. Are you guys going to give me a license to practice and to operate things in Korea? She's like, oh, absolutely not. Then why do you think we're going to do it? Well, because you guys are America. You guys let people do what it is that they want to do, whatever they want to do. Where's this stuff coming from? You know, you look at in light of American tolerance. And this whole idea, existentialism principles declare that you do not tell people what to do. You cannot tell people what to do. And to go against tolerance, it is wrong for us to impose anything on anyone or to try to talk anybody out of doing something. You're infringing upon their rights as a human being. And the world listens to them. When we hear people talking, do we say amen because it lines up with the scriptures or because it falls in line with the way of the world? Because it falls in line with the way of the world. Even when it comes to right and wrong and making the decisions, where is it coming from? You believe that this is right because? You believe that this is wrong because? And if it doesn't come from the Bible, even if you're right, it's wrong. It's important that we see this. It's important that we get this. Because as Christians, especially today, we have got to make sure that we truly have a clear Christian or clear biblical worldview in everything that we do. Because it affects everything. Affects everything. Even making sure that we're asking ourselves questions as to why it is that we believe certain things. I think I've given this illustration before. I'm going to just do it one more time. I remember I was reading an article by a professor at Westminster, Carl Truman. He asked this question when it came to a TV show like American Idol. He goes, Ryan Seacrest will go and they will talk to all the contestants and people that are wanting to do American Idol. And, you know, everyone believes that they're going to be the next American Idol. And he's like, why are you here? Oh, I'm here because I'm going to be a star. You know, I'm here because I'm going to sing. I got a really good voice. You know, that remains to be seen. But we got a really good voice and I'm going to be famous. And just goes down the list talking to all these people. I'm going to be rich and famous. I'm going to be rich and be famous. I'm going to be this. I'm going to be this. And he says, did any of us ever once think and ask ourselves the question, why? Why? He goes, to show you how much the worldview has affected us, he says, think about this. What happens if Ryan Seacrest goes up to an individual and says, hey, why are you here? Oh, I'm just here because I'm here to hang out with people. Well, don't you want to, like, you know, be a star? Don't you want to be rich? No. Don't you want to be popular where everybody loves you and chants your name? And they go, no. He goes, how many people in America would think that there was something wrong with that person? He says, that's how much the worldview has affected us. It's so ingrained in us that we have this pattern of thinking and we don't even know we have it. Wow. We should be concerned when the world is listening. We should be concerned if the world is celebrating. Because think about it, family, and I think I've said this before, but think about this again. The only message that the scriptures have for the world when it comes to what the world is to do, the scripture has one message for the world and one message only. Repent and believe. Seriously, think about it. That's it. If you're in the world, if you're lost, that's only one thing. The gospel of Jesus, repent and believe. Right now counts forever. Point number three, I'm going close. R.C. Sproul once said, if there was one message he could give to the entire world, the question was, what would that message be? He said these words, right now counts forever. That was one message R.C. Sproul said he could give to the world. That's the message. Everything, family, has consequences. And we will all be judged one day. Now, I know that, you know, there's this argument and this debate, whether it's going on between whether it's going to be the judgment seat of Christ, great white throne, you know, Christians being judged, all of these kinds of things. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. Here is a letter that's written to Christians. So whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please Him. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. And family, when the judgment comes, we will receive what we deserve, what meant for evil. Hell, the place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Destruction. This is why it's scary. This is why R.C. Sproul is saying right now counts forever. Matthew chapter 10 verse 28. Matthew chapter 10 verse 28. Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. So what is the deal with hell? Hell is the destruction of soul and body. But John tells us in verse 6, 1 John chapter 4, verse 6, but we belong to God, and those who know God listen to us. If they do not belong to God, they do not listen to us. That is how we know if someone has a spirit of truth or the spirit of deception. They will listen to us. In other words, today, how do we apply this? It is the words that were written by the us, and the us is the apostles, and the apostles' words and the apostles' message has been given to us through the scriptures. In other words, if you do not belong to God, you will not listen to his word. What's in the word of God, you're not going to listen to. If you don't believe in God, you're not going to listen. And John says this, that's how you know whether someone has the spirit of truth or the spirit of deception. Where are we when it comes to the word of God? Where are we when it comes to listening to what the apostles have to say? Because this is the truth. Jesus said it, your word is truth. What they say and what was their primary message? And in a sense, the message is, like R.C. Sproul put it, right now counts forever. The consequences, there are those things that we're going to be faced with in the future. Judgments coming, all of that stuff is real. There is a living God, greater than any spirit, greater than all things, superior. What a terrible thing to fall into the hands of a living God. But what was the primary message of the apostles? The message was that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. And he was buried and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. So what was the message? The message is that there's hope. Man, there's hope for us. You can look and see all these philosophies and stuff like that and just say, oh, there's no hope, there's no meaning, there's none of that stuff. Family, that is a lie. There is life and life more abundant that we can have and that we can enjoy right now. But that life and that life more abundant is found in Christ and in Christ alone. So repent and believe. The gospel, understanding that Jesus came into this world to seek and save that which was lost. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. That he became sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Repent and believe and have life in Christ. Be covered by the blood. And yes, the consequences are going to come. But this is the good news for you, Christian. That all the sins and everything that we've had, the consequences, the wrath that we were supposed to experience, we're not going to experience now because Christ took that wrath for us when he died on the cross. And now all of our sins are covered by the blood of Christ. Man, that's hope. And that's hope that's for real. And something that I can sit with, something that I can live with, something that I can know and truly be set free. And not be wondering late at night while I'm laying in bed going, is that true? I don't know if that's true. Oh, and then we start to panic. We don't have to panic. Because everything the Lord has promised is yes and amen. And these are promises that come from a God who cannot lie. And he also promised us that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, that if we believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. Family, the gospel is here. And it was given so that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that by believing we will have life in his name. Life. Real life. Not the Kaiser Permanente Thrive kind of life. Real life, family. Life and life more abundant. Unto him who is exceedingly able and abundantly able to do abundantly beyond anything that we could ever ask or imagine. So I'm telling you what, family, I would be pretty disappointed. People are just like, oh man, in heaven, there's going to be like football, there's going to be like baseball and hockey and all that stuff. Everything that we enjoy here on earth is going to be up there. I gotta be honest with you, family. I'm going to be pretty disappointed if that's the case. I know people are all excited, like, man, the best golf greens are going to be up there. You know, I'm just like, man, I'm going to be pretty disappointed. Why? Because I'm telling you, family, remember when the Apostle Paul said that he went to heaven? He saw things that he couldn't describe. He saw things that you couldn't put into words. So I'm believing that there's going to be games that are going to be better than football. It's going to be better than basketball. You know, there's got to be something better than golf. Have you guys ever played golf? There's got to be more to life than this. Sorry, Charlie. Sorry. But what's my point? My point is heaven is going to be extraordinary. And the thing is that in a lot of ways we've got to understand and recognize that we can't have heaven on earth, because heaven can only be heaven in heaven. And that's what I'm looking forward to. The day where I stand face to face with Christ. And I pray to this day that my consequence in life is going to be Jesus looking at me and the Father looking at me, covered by the blood of Christ, with my clothes changed to my white robe, and have Christ look at me and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. For more information about Central Baptist Church, go to www.cbcaurora.com.